This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Wrestling Right Up on Free FM, AFM, and MP. As always, I'm Grady, and live on Discord, we got Josh.
Hey.
We are inching closer and closer to WrestleMania as the weeks go by. We're seeing more of the card form, more of the feuds solidify where we're going, and one of the pieces that I probably wouldn't have guessed 2 weeks ago, we also got brand new tag team champions on SmackDown. With Damian Priest and R-Truth holding them high.
And until the third slap on the mat, neither did Damian Priest. They told R-Truth, they did not tell Damian Priest. That would created such a nice moment. Just the sheer look and shock on his face. The stuff that Truth and Priest have done throughout the entirety of Truth being pseudo member of the Judgment Day, mm-hmm. and all that stuff that came after it and stuff, these two just got great chemistry. I'm glad to see them. I want to see at some point this pairing of R-Truth and Damian Priest versus Mizhausen, because I think that will just be an absolutely epic, entertaining match. But at first, we've got to get the Miz to accept Miz Danhausen so he can be uncursed so that he can be a team with him.
Look, I just want to take a step back. First off, I agree with everything you said. Damian Priest, R-Truth absolutely deserve it, both as individuals, chemistry, everything that goes back. What happened to SmackDown's tag team division? I feel like we were sitting here, I don't know how long ago it was, 6 months ago, a year ago, you know, we had Motor City Machine Guns, we had Solo's crew, we had Fraxium, we had Wyatt Six, we had all of these amazing teams. They were having like four-way, five-way feuds. We said, or at least I'm pretty sure you could probably find a quote from me that says, any combination of these tag teams, I'm happy to see go head to head, that they were putting on banger matches week after week, and now where are we? We have been stuck in an MFT's Wyatt Six vortex. We have R-Truth and Damian Priest as the champions, and I'm happy that the randomly put together team is the champions. The Motor City Machine Guns are looking like they're gonna break up. What happened in the last 6 months?
As you said, it was a vortex involving the Wyatt Six, which unfortunately seems to just kill anything that's involved with it. After the debut and stuff, it's like they didn't know what they did were going to do with it, couldn't top it, and now we're just in a void. But I will say this, we did get an amazing tag team match between the Motor City Machine Guns and Fraxium on SmackDown. Mm-hmm. And it does look like they're at least working Candice LeRae and Johnny Gargano into this, whatever they're doing with the Motor City Machine Guns. Honestly, I always felt like the Motor City Machine Guns were like on borrowed time as a tag team because I felt like they probably be better off being solo so that they could, because I think they both have like amazing talent and could reach higher in the card as solo, but they got the tag team run that they got with the titles and stuff. So I think we're probably at the point where it is probably time to move on and split them and get two stars, especially when you consider their ages too.
They were obviously, as you say, you know, past their best before date when they came to WWE. They had a whole lot of bangers outside, and they've shown that they can keep putting them on, you know, with Fraxium and earlier, 12 months ago, when the SmackDown Tag Team division was hot. But yeah, I don't know quite where they're going, right? With introducing Johnny Gargano into here, what it feels like is that the feud will shift. One of the Motor City Machine Guns will choose to remain heel and probably end up in a tag team with Johnny Gargano to replace Tommaso Ciampa, and the other will go off and have a face singles run. And I don't know.
My bet is if they do that, the one that'll be solo will be Alex Shelley.
Mm.
And I think that's mainly because I think they might see Shelley as having a higher ceiling because he's a little bit younger, and back of a year or so, and has already reached higher reach in TNA. I know they both were world champions, but it felt like Alex Shelley was more important when he was world champion than what Chris Sabin was.
Yeah, and I think if you look at, you know, the end of the match here, it was Alex that got the roll-up win. Maybe he's going to feel conflicted. We'll have to see how it all plays out. But yeah, it's an interesting turn from where the SmackDown Tag Team division was to where the SmackDown Tag Team division is. Especially when Fraxium seemed to be splitting also 12 months ago, ever since they came to the main roster. But it seems like they've held it out. And we'll see what they're doing with the Motor City Machine Guns and the other teams in the division. Right now, for me, the SmackDown tag titles or the WWE tag titles are more trying to find their spot on the WrestleMania card. As it starts building out, you see all of these, you know, big important matches, whether they're world title matches, whether they're secondary title matches, Obafemi, Brock Lesnar, you know, or even other feuds that are not locked in yet, they're pretty much locked in. They got a spot on the card, but there is only so many spots. And so what configuration for the WWE Tag Team Championships can actually earn and get booked a WrestleMania match? And you did mention Mizhausen versus Priest and Truth, potentially an option, I think, more than, you know, an MFT versus Wyatt 6 rematch, because MFT do still have the lantern. That feels like a SmackDown before WrestleMania kind of match, but maybe we could squeak out a WrestleMania match for these titles.
Yeah. I do want to remind you, we were so convinced that we would have the SmackDown titles on WrestleMania last year,
mm-hmm.
and we got the Raw tag titles, which we thought did not belong. I have a feeling we might have the reverse this year. And I think that we'll have Truth and Priest defend against, I don't know, insert team here, maybe the Motor City Machine Guns as a last hurrah for them at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
To give them a tag team WrestleMania moment. But yeah, there's no chance of Mizhausen, because I'm pretty sure, and I guess we can move on over to the segment with Jelly Roll, mm-hmm. that we're going to get Jelly Roll and Danhausen versus Miz and Kit William.
Yeah, I think that's what I spun up a graphic for yesterday. I think it is probably the most likely outcome. You know, they did the Jelly Roll match last time. He chose to lose so that he could come back and there'd be a bit of a want for him. You come back in WrestleMania season, we're going to assume there's a WrestleMania match in it for you. So far, you know, you've interacted with Miz, you've interacted with Kit Wilson, Danhausen's interacted with Miz. A tag team match there kind of is just forming, right? Just from all of the chess pieces being out on the board, it's hard to not see that path forward for them.
Yeah. And I think it'll be fun. This is the type of match that I think Miz excels in. It's not something that you have to have him overdo it, because the Miz is always going to be the guy that you can depend on to wrestle. He'll make people look good. He especially will make celebrities look good. Mm-hmm. And this is going to be about Jelly Roll and Danhausen's first match. So I think this is going to make them look good. Jelly Roll will win, and then maybe on the SmackDown after after. That's when the Miz finally gives up and apologizes, and Danhausen removes the curse from him, and they become a tag team. And then maybe at the Clash event in May, I forget which city it's in.
Italy?
I think so. Clash in Italy sounds right. We get Danhausen and Miz versus R-Truth and Damian Priest, and maybe at some point we'll get a promo in which R-Truth mistakenly calls Danhausen Sting. Because I think that would be hilarious. I think the internet thinks that would be hilarious. And I'll be okay with the internet having that as a joyful moment.
Yeah, I think when I look at this match, as you say, the Miz is a made man, and he will make this match. Danhausen's debut, pretty important, just to see how he's going to do in the ring. Jelly Roll, we saw what he did last time. I'm expecting much the same, you know, not a 10-star buffet dinner, but pretty good. I was pretty happy with it last time. For me, though, the person I want to keep an eye on is Kit Wilson, because he had this upwards trajectory when he first came out as a solo star, even though he wasn't meant to, and he was losing, but he was still getting cheered. He's kind of died down a little bit. We know he's got a match with Jelly Roll this week on SmackDown. Is this going to be the breakthrough moment? If, you know, we're going to assume the Jelly Roll side of things is going to win again, but he is going to be in a pretty high-profile match with celebrities and Miz and other such people involved. Can we get a bit of a WrestleMania moment for Kit? Maybe squeeze that out of the match?
I definitely think that's probably very possible. I think the role of Miz is to make everybody else in the match look amazing. Mm-hmm. And that will include his own teammate. Yeah. I think there'll be a segment of the match, a few minutes. Because I don't think this match goes beyond like 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But there'll be like a segment of like 4 or 5 minutes where it's going to be The Miz and Kit Wilson dominating. And I think there are a good chunk of that will be Wilson in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where you can give him some shine, and then you can have him you have a hot tag to Jelly Roll. He clears the rings. The end of the match is maybe the Jelly Slam on Kit Wilson. And just, I think the whole thing can build up, because Mick Foley proved you don't have to win the match to have a WrestleMania moment. Because remember, his WrestleMania moment was him going through that table in the match with Edge. Yeah. So there are ways to get a moment without it being a winning moment. And it's like, as you said, this is working with a celebrity. It's going to be an important match. Just the fact that he's in it will be more important to him.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to jump into our entrance theme this week. I've decided already this is just going to be a tag team themed show, because we're playing Jey Uso's theme, and when we get back, we're going to talk about Raw, and we're going to talk about those Raw tag team titles. But first, the music.
It's on me now, Uso.
Hey, I'ma get them all. I'ma get them all, Uso. Yeah. I'ma get them. I'ma get them. I'ma get them. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's on me now, Uso. It's on me. Hey, main event Jey Uso is now in your city.
Enjoy Wrestling Roundup on Free FM, RFM, and MPR. I'm Grady, he's Josh. taking a look at Raw. The Usos, they are poking their nose in the CM Punk Roman Reigns thing, but that feud's set. We know what's happening there at WrestleMania. They also be poking their nose in the Vision. Seth Rollins, his target has been pretty squarely on Paul Heyman. We'll put Brock Lesnar and Obafemi on the shelf as well. Seth Rollins wants Paul Heyman. The Usos want the Vision. And LA Knight is somewhere swirling around, seemingly also hating the Vision, but now Jay hates him. It's a cluster on Raw.
The reason I picked Jay's theme is because really this show was about Jay overall. He appeared multiple times. He's definitely had a much different appearance in his character the last few weeks, especially since Roman returned and won the Rumble. I think that they are maybe building to something, maybe a shift in creative with Jay. What if they turn Jay into the former Roman Reigns after that, and maybe have him actually cost Roman the match at WrestleMania? And then you have Roman chasing after Jay, and Jay is now a bad guy and is maybe forming his own version of the Bloodline and becoming the evil guy that Jimmy fought so hard to prevent the being created.
Yeah, I had to have, I got a memory like a goldfish, right? I had to have someone remind me that the reason we have the Usos as tag team champions was Jimmy saw Jay going down this dark path, almost turning heel, and sort of like reformed the tag team to keep him from that path. And I'd kind of forgotten that little, you know, story beat. And then you see it's always Jay freaking out on CM Punk and to attacking him, and Jimmy's kind of trying to hold him back. Or in the match against the Vision, it's Jay with the brass knuckles on using them. When LA Knight is trying to explain his actions, it's Jay getting angry. And they're really playing this Jay Uso's a loose cannon, Jimmy Uso's sort of holding them back in his voice of reason. And so as soon as that voice of reason's gone, the loose cannon's gonna shoot.
Yep. And so I think that's where I think Theory and Paul can take advantage. Because I do think this match is definitely going to happen at WrestleMania. And they could become the tag team champions. And I think that's because I think we might get a miracle and actually have the Bron Breakker Seth Rollins match at WrestleMania. Because there is some major whispers saying that he might be able to be cleared to wrestle.
Yeah, it feels like we're playing with a plan A and a plan B right now. You know, we're involving LA Knight. We're not quite pulling the trigger to go down either path and just waiting to see week by week, you know, is Bron ready? Is Bron ready? The hitch in terms of where the Raw tag titles are going to go is, I believe, next week on Raw, we're going to get a street fight between the Usos and Paul in Theory for the titles. Could possibly see them change hands even before we get to WrestleMania. But, you know, it's a street fight. You could have Seth Rollins. You could have the return of Bron Breakker. You can have LA Knight poking his nose in. CM Punk poking his nose in. There's a whole lot of people who probably want to poke their nose into a street fight.
Yeah, and that is the interesting thing, is that there are wrinkles. You could definitely have, like, Seth Rollins come out to try to cost them this title match. And that's where you bring Bron back. And in the midst of all this craziness that's happening, you get, like, Jimmy gets caught with a brass knuckle punch.
Mm-hmm.
And goes down and they take the loss. And that feeds into the mental unstability that has been Jey Uso. And then you could then do the multi-man match we've been expecting, and then the Vision wins that. And that further spirals Jey out of control until we get to night two at WrestleMania, when I think we blow up, if that's where they want to go. It's possible that we may go in a different direction. But there's so much that they can do with Jey here. And I think that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, we for a while there we had the Shield triangle. They didn't quite all fully ascend while Dean Ambrose, Jon Moxley was still in WWE, but since returning, CM Punk has kind of slotted himself in as the third member of that triangle, and it feels like, regardless of alignments, the members in the triangle will always hate the other members in the triangle, and their allies will always hate them. And so, obviously you've got Roman's group, who currently seems to have the Usos behind it. If Seth Rollins does find his way interfering into the Vision, there's immediate distrust there, because Roman always hates Rollins, and therefore the Usos gotta be sketch of Rollins as well. And there's just this spinning circle of those three right now. We saw the triple threat, we're getting the one-on-one this year, probably, unless something massively changes within that. But it could have just as easily have had Seth Rollins in there. We've had Seth Roman, we've had Seth Punk, we've had Punk Roman, we've had them all of the combinations. And so I think Seth Rollins interfering himself into the tag team match next week probably won't go down well with many of the participants, in the match, if any of them. And so we gotta really see how that's all gonna spin out in a WrestleMania match. As you say, it could be for the tag titles, we could get a multi-man match, Braun could return, LA Knight could be involved. There's just 50 million different combinations, and we got like 3 or 4 weeks to, that's probably overdoing it, 2 or 3 weeks to figure out what path we're actually taking with all of these guys. And in terms of, what path we're taking, with all of these guys, I want to look over at the women's tag team division. Sticking in tag teams, that's the theme, I'm going with it. On SmackDown, we had the Irresistible Forces, Lash Legend, and Nia Jax, current champions, defend against the Bella Twins, that match ending in a no contest because Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss interferes. There you go, you got three teams. Oh no, wait, we go over to Raw, and all of a sudden we get another team declaring themselves for the championships, and I believe getting a match next week for the championships as well, with Bayley and Lyra. And so now you've got a fourth team involved in it. Are we just going to have some sort of two-on-two-on-two-on-two match? You've also got... I think Io Sky and Kairi Sane might be a different piece that's going to spin off. Io trying to save Kairi Sane from Asuka. We'll just put Kairi Sane on a pole match. I'm going to put that on a shelf. but with the women's tag titles, are we just going to throw everybody and hope for the best?
Yeah, I think we're going to get a six tag team, like six pack challenge or something for it. Mm-hmm. Featuring the Kabuki Warriors and Io Sky and Rhea Ripley and somebody else that can replace Rhea for Io. I don't know. It just feels like they're going to just mash them all together and throw them out there. Maybe they'll surprise us and like make it a ladder match, just to do something different than just six tag teams, one winner. But I don't know. Again, it's tag team titles. I don't care about them.
I try to, right? And I think that at the moment, they're not being super used to sort of raise up anybody's stock. We saw them on Io and Ripley, and they were already, you know, top people in the division. It's like handing Becky Lynch her Intercontinental Championship. Makes the titles, you know, be with the big folks. But now we've put them on Nia Jax and Lash Legend, and it's just been interferences, no contests, DQs, because we're trying to set up, presumably, this multi-person, multi-team match at WrestleMania, or the Raw or SmackDown before or after, depending on what happens, possibly, you know, in favor of a Battle Royal instead. And I don't know, I felt like I really wanted to see more out of Lash Legend after the Royal Rumble piece, and then I haven't seen it in the tag team with Nia Jax ending with all of these false finishes. And I'm not cooling down on her too much just yet, but I will as it starts to continue and we get further away from the Rumble and I forget that performance. I feel like we could have pulled a different trigger with her, sent her after an individual title, even if she's not winning, and just given her a bit of a shine that way instead.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing is going to be when Kairi Sane finally does turn on Asuka.
Mm-hmm.
I think the place, the crowd is going to go bananas for it. Because I think people like Kairi. And the way Asuka's treating her is not well. So when Io can finally get through her and like remind her of what Asuka did to her when she became a single star, is going to treat her the way she needs to break off and do it to Asuka before Asuka does it to her.
Mm-hmm. That's the biggest story in the women's tag team division right now, is the Kabuki Warriors, or Kairi Sane, really, breaking free of her chains. And then our last tag team focus. Only got a couple minutes left, but we're recording this before NXT, so we're kind of winging it with regards to NXT Roadblock this weekend. We do know the number one contenderships for the NXT Tag Team Championships, currently held by the Vanity Project, will be defended at Stand and Deliver. Number one contendership match will be this weekend. It will be the Birthright, Channing Stacks and Uriah Connors going up against the winner of the match that happens in a couple hours, the Culling versus Eli Knight and Elio Lefleur. Where do we see these go, and who do we want to see face Vanity Project come Stand and Deliver?
I feel like it almost has to be the Birthright, because you're not going to form this group and not have do something with them. But at the same time, isn't the Vanity group a bunch of heels?
Yep.
So it doesn't make sense unless you're going to make a story of the Birthright being like initially faces and then turning heel because they just nobody likes them. I don't know. But it feels like this is the birth match rights match to win, but that probably means Eli Knight and Lefeer wins it. Because we all know the Culling ain't, no matter what the combination of these three teams are. so it's fine.
I'm with you. I think Birthright should. I'd like to see it, even if it is heel versus heel. I'm sure you can pull something off there. Knight and Lefleur, they were stuck together thanks to quote-unquote injury. I'm not sure if it was a real one or not. I don't know. The rookie's coming on up. So are the Vanity Project, I guess. But give me Birthright, Vanity Project. We'll work it out. We'll figure out their alignments. Alrighty, well, that is all we have time for this week. It's been great talking to you.
Bye, B.
Visit our Facebook page, facebook.com/WrestlingRNDUpper, Twitter page, twitter.com/WrestlingRNDUpper, YouTube page, youtube.com/WrestlingRNDUp, and we'll talk to you next week. Taking up, sky's the limit, got no time to waste. Tonight's the big goal, strike quick but creep slow. The competition is absent, the moment that we show. Countdown from three, go, press X to reload. Yet they still try to topple the kingdom that we own. Outnumbered but outgunning, we're fearless and crap. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.